This episode of Healthcare Happy Hour is sponsored by Rx Benefits. Rx Benefits is dedicated to partnering with brokers and consultants to deliver real savings and long-term success for pharmacy benefit clients with a focus on controlling costs, enhancing care, and keeping members satisfied for years to come. Learn more at rxbenefits.com.
Welcome and thank you for joining us for Healthcare Happy Hour, the official podcast of the National Association of Benefits and Insurance Professionals.
And I'm your host, David Saltzman. You know, most of us think of advocacy as something that happens on Capitol Hill, but the truth is, some of the most powerful conversations with lawmakers happen in district, which gives you more face time, less formality, and a real chance to build relationships that last. But how do you actually set one up? What should you bring? And what's the right way to follow up so your legislator sees you as a trusted resource rather than just another visitor? Today, we'll answer those questions and more with my guest, NABIP member Rick Israel. Hey, Rick, how are you this morning?
Good, David. How are you today?
I'm awesome. And I'm talking to you, so I'm even awesomer. So let's start with the big picture. What should our members care? Why should they care, rather, about doing in-district meetings with their elected officials in the first place?
Well, if you think about it, most individuals may not be able to get to Washington, D.C. on a yearly basis. And the past couple of years, we've had some legislative changes here in the state of Alabama, where I reside, and just needed to let them know what was going on in the world of healthcare, because unfortunately, some of our legislators don't exactly know how it works or what it does, because not every legislator is part of the healthcare industry within Congress and within their senators.
So you've been at a few Capitol conferences. How do in-district meetings differ from those meetings on the Hill, and why might they actually be a little bit more valuable for our members?
Well, we're in Washington, D.C. You know, most of the time they're in session, there's a vote. So most of the time you meet with the aides or you knock on the door and nobody's there available. Appointments can get canceled just because of other underlying circumstances. Here in district, you have more of an opportunity to get to their office within the district and not just see the aide, but actually also see your senator or your congressperson. So that makes it a little bit more of a one-on-one type of situation. Makes it a little bit more nervous as well, just because of the simple fact that, you know, when we're in D.C., we don't always get to see them. But in D.C., we get to see how it actually works. But in district, it's more of a, I guess I would say, more of a laid back type of meeting. It's not as tense.
You know, we talked a little bit about some of that already, and I talked about it in the open. But besides all of that stuff, is access easier in district? Do you get more FaceTime? And then we could talk about relationship building, which I think is really the coin of the realm.
Well, you know, the FaceTime is tremendously more time. We've recently met with one of our congresspeople here in the Northern District of Alabama, and it was nice just to be able to sit back, relax, talk, get to know each other a little bit better, more one-on-one time, kind of like sitting talking to somebody you've known for a long time, and just to let them know that, hey, you know, we care about what you're doing, so let us tell you what's going on here. And there's not as much pressure. And it's more of a talking to a friend, where in D.C., it's rush, rush, rush. You got maybe 5 minutes at the most when you're in D.C., plus travel time. I mean, you're walking from one building to another, where here in their district office, it's all just right there for you and have an opportunity to sit back and relax.
So let's go to the beginning of the process. From your experience, what's the best way to get on a legislator's schedule during these district work periods? Any tips for cutting through the noise?
Emails. Emails work the best. Obviously, I can pick up the phone and try and reach somebody, but most of the time when there's a phone call, you're just going to be another phone call. Your emails that you send to your legislative or their secretaries or chief of staff, you need to make sure that you tell them how important it is of what's going on in district, because, you know, districts are big. They may not know everything that's going on. And if you catch that one part of that email that stands out, you're most likely going to get a phone call back. So definite emails, follow-up emails, you know, a phone call here or there just to confirm everything, that the appointments are there.
Do you get a chance over time to get familiar with their district staff, and does that make scheduling subsequent meetings easier?
Oh, most definitely. We had already had a couple of meetings with our congressman's staff in the past, so it did make it a little bit easier because you have that contact, you have that name, and that's the part of it, David. I mean, you have to be known. You have to find out who's the best person to get in touch with. Who is your main contact person? Because you can spin wheels and never get anywhere. And unfortunately, you know, you spin a wheel, you know, sometimes it's not going to come up on your number, and you end up, you know, just giving up and not going on and not trying to pursue it a little bit more. So getting to know the legislative staff is a definite plus.
Now, I know when we're on the Hill in Washington, we are armed with a folder full of material that the Ledge staff at NABIP has given us. But what kind of preparation should you do to make your most of your time in an in-district meeting?
Stick to one topic. You know, don't go four or five different topics. And that's the problem, I think, sometimes that we have on the Hill in D.C. is we have five or six topics we can talk about, and we feel it's so important to get to the point of five or six topics. But these individuals on the Hill, I mean, they're very, very busy. They've got, you know, 10, 15 organizations knocking on the door to try and talk to them. And so when you're in district, find one topic that you believe is the most valuable and it's not going to waste their time or your time, and make it a topic that you see that is a need within their district. You know, lack of care, continuity of care, doctors and hospitals, in and out of networks. Those are the things you need to focus on, just one thing at a time, and stick to that topic. Don't try and chase rabbits, because they don't have time to sit there and listen to rabbits. But if you grab one topic that grabs their attention, you're going to have their attention. It's going to turn into a better conversation.
So, okay, stick to one issue, and that's key. That's important. What do you bring with you in terms of facts, figures, real world examples? So like, what kind of supporting materials work best in these settings?
Well, first of all, know your topic. Don't just walk in, you know, empty handed thinking you know about it. Do your research. You know, the one thing that we looked at here in our district was the fact that doctors were falling out of network. And so we did research, you know, not just in our state, but in the Southeast region, of what did the numbers look like? Because, you know, these senators and these Congress people, they talk, I mean, state to state. You know, they may not, they may look like they're enemies on television, but actually they do communicate. They do talk to each other. And if you have your research, you know your numbers of what's going on around the area, and not just in their district, look at your whole state, because they may just cover one district within your state, but they all talk. And they have to be able to say, hey, you know, are you having this issue in the southern part of the state or your part of the state? And if they find a common ground, then they may just think, hey, we do have a problem here. So definitely sticking to one topic would be very important, and doing the research. We use you know, AI generated stuff to look at it. And then we just compare with what we see on other sites, just to make sure that we're accurate. And put together a presentation, not like a PowerPoint, but on paper, and make sure that you bring that, make sure you make an extra copy for your legislators, because a leave behind is the most important thing, because they may not look at it, but their aides will look at it. And if they see something important, they're going to go, hey, we need to talk about this. So definitely, you know, research and leave behinds are very, very important.
And I suspect that as you're building your leave behind, the best thing that you can do is use fewer words and just be really, really dialed in on the three or four or five bullet points that you want your legislator to take from the meeting.
Exactly. Exactly. And graphs. I mean, if you have graphs, they know numbers. Words are just words. But if you show them numbers, you know, like dollar numbers, because, you know, individuals in Washington, D.C., they're about numbers. And so they want to make sure that if money needs to be spent, that they can show that it is a need. And so the more pictures and graphs you can present to them, it's real. It's more real than just words.
Well, and I presume that when you're building all of that stuff, you want to make sure that those points are relevant and relative to their constituents. Not, you know, you're in Alabama, you don't want to talk about something that's necessarily going on in Nevada.
True. That's true. That's correct. Because the thing is the constituents are the ones that put them up there in DC to make sure that their words are heard, their voices are heard. And we're, if you really think about it, you know, we're advocates. That's what we are in the industry of health insurance. We're their advocate. We're their voice to them. Say, hey, this is what your constituents are saying, and here's the numbers on this piece of paper to prove exactly what your constituents are saying. You know, if there's a lack of care within a certain area, these legislators need to know that, hey, we've got an issue with here with healthcare. And healthcare has been a major topic in DC for numerous of years. And, you know, I just don't think there's enough of us going to the legislators and saying, hey, these are what your constituents are saying, because we're hands-on. Our clients that come to us, they don't know. They don't know who to talk to. They don't know who to call, but we do, you know, because that's what we do.
Now, some members might be nervous about, let's call it, getting it wrong. How can they approach these meetings more as like conversations than high pressure presentations?
There's always a fear of getting it wrong. Okay. But we're not perfect. But the thing is walk into your legislative office. Don't gloat. Just be yourself. Okay. Because the thing is I put my pants on the same way as my congressman do. One leg at a time. Okay. And if you come in there nervous and all rattled, you know, they're going to listen to you, but they may not have your full attention. If you sit down with them, relax. And the first thing is, you know, introduce yourself. Don't jump right to the point, you know, sit down, relax, say, oh, you know, I've noticed this on your wall. We're involved in the same thing, you know, such and so forth. So find that common ground with your legislator and start to build the relationship, because you want that relationship to continue in the future. Saying, oh, yeah, I remember when Rick Itchwell came to my office. Yeah, I remember that name. Yeah, let's talk to him again, because I want to follow up. You're going to want them to want you to call them eventually for that follow up. And if you get that relationship going, not just with the legislator, but also with the aides, you're going to have more of a one-on-one talk, and that can begin to grow.
Gee, it sounds awful like a sales call. And we do that 1,000 times a day. So I don't think anybody should be afraid of that. I mean, should you approach just what you're talking about? Just approach it that way. Build rapport first, then ease into what you want to talk about, and then have a good closing. That's a sales call, isn't it?
It's a sales call, but it's a different type, because, you know, when you are speaking with your legislators, these are the individuals that are up in Washington, D.C., you know, writing the laws, writing the bills, getting them passed, getting the president to sign them. And, you know, so we're really the first step, if you consider it. So, yeah, is it a sales call? Yes. But, you know, what part of the sale am I closing on this point? It's a constant sale. It's not just one thing and I'm done. It's something that's going to continue, kind of like our clients. You know, we want to build trust and confidence with our clients the same way that we want our legislators to feel comfortable with us within their office.
Well, and that leads directly into my next question, which is, talk a little bit about, I alluded to it in the introduction, but talk a little bit about the importance of building relationships over time, rather than just kind of a one and done meeting. And how do you build those? How do you keep those connections alive with the legislators?
Connections with the staff is a big, big help. And you have to be prepared that every time you go, you may not get your legislator. And don't be disappointed. You know, my first meeting with our legislator had to be postponed. Was I discouraged? Sure. But it was rescheduled immediately. And this gave me a little bit more time to make sure that my numbers were right, my words were right. So it kind of helped out a little bit. But just be prepared that, you know, you may not see the legislator, but the aide is there. And you have to trust the aide as well. And the aide may not know everything the legislator does, but most of the time, that's your first connection in. And if you can build a relationship with the aide or the chief of staff, and not just by, hi, chief of staff, get to know their names. You know, hey, this is Rick, and and I'm trying to reach Judy, the chief of staff. Is she available? You know, you get to know the names, not just, can I speak to your chief of staff, please? So building that rapport and that relationship is extremely important. I know I'm repeating myself, but I can't stress it enough that in our industry, sometimes you do have to repeat yourself several times for people to understand and know who you are and that you're real.
It's, you know, kind of like building trust with the power behind the throne. They hold the keys to the kingdom, so you want to make friends of their staff. And I suspect that, you know, there are those times that staff maybe by other people don't get treated quite as nicely. And so that's key. That helps differentiate you. Now, we focused a lot on Congress, but what about state legislators? Is it important to engage with them? And do you approach those meetings any differently?
No, you do not. You don't change them any differently. And being that you're state legislator, sometimes getting in those are a little bit easier. You know, obviously Montgomery is, you know, 3 hours south of Huntsville, but sometimes that trip is worth it. I mean, sometimes you just have to, but then also go to, you know, when they're in district, they're easier to get a hold of. Their chief of staff is easier to get a hold of, and their staff is more willing to be open than in Washington, D.C. It's just as secure, but it's, you're a little bit at their level. And, but it's still very important because our state legislators will talk to federal legislators. You know, they do communicate because it's important that the U.S. Legislators know what's going on in their state. So they report to the state districts. And sometimes your state legislators have no idea what's going on because they're being hounded just like they are in D.C. How much do I have to get done today? Oh, I have another appointment today. Consider your appointment with your federal legislator as important with your state legislator and go with the same numbers. Go with exactly what's going on so they're aware of what's going on in their state district.
That's really key. That's great advice. So finally, after the meeting is over, what are the most effective follow-up steps to make sure the conversation continues and that the legislators start seeing you as a trusted resource?
Email. Follow up with email. And not just a thank you. Thank you emails are always very much important because you want to thank them for taking their time out of their day to meet with you because you feel it was so important. But after that email, a couple weeks later, just drop another email. Hey, let me tell you what's going on. Let me say what I've seen on our end, because I want to keep you in the loop. And if you get the aid will get that information to the legislator because they see it as an important factor of what's going on. You know, I sent an email to the federal legislator, Mr. Strong's aide, because we just got awarded a big contract here in Huntsville. And it was completely something different than what we had talked about. But I said, hey, tell Mr. Strong, congratulations on the contract they just landed. We're really happy and really excited for this big move coming to Huntsville. That's all it is. And I got a thank you. I will definitely let him know. So he responded back. So he's beginning to know who we are and that we're really here and just keep in touch with things that are going on. There's no different than what we would tell our clients.
Rick Israel. Rick, thanks for a fascinating discussion. And if anybody wants any more information or any details, how can they reach you?
You can reach me by my email at rick@life-lineinsurance.com or our office is 256-746-9581.
That's awesome. Thanks so much for spending time with us today.
You're welcome. Thanks, Dave, for having me.
You can have the Healthcare Happy Hour podcast downloaded automatically by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can also find a link to the podcast in the member-exclusive Washington Update, published on Fridays. For more information on our government affairs efforts, or to become a member, visit nabip.org.